will come from, who live, as we've just prayed, in insecurity, in inability to care for even their own families. We think of those who are struggling because of unrest in the world, for countries like Yemen, Syria, South Sudan. We pray for those who are struggling through natural disasters, like in Indonesia, Sulawesi. We're living through sheer hell, Lord, trying to rebuild lives and bury the dead. We just lift them up in prayer and ask you to be near to them. And we pray for all the elections that are going on in this world. And we pray for peace, rule of law, for fairness, and for a heart for freedom and for justice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our leaders in a world where we just really struggle to find good leaders, leaders that we can be proud of, leaders that are a true reflection of your will for us in our lives. We pray for our government here in Canada. We ask that you will bless them so that they may do their best, that they may serve the people, they may serve this country, they may serve in your kingdom. We ask that you will protect us from partisanship, that you will protect us from populism, that you will protect us from one way or the other in extremism, that you will just help us to build a better world and help and lead us, Lord, to do your will in this beautiful country that we are so blessed with. We pray for justice and fairness and for all those people who struggled to be heard, and help us to be a voice for them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church. Lord, our church around the world first, and that you will just bless it, and that you will use it to be a light in this world, that you will use it to reach out and build your kingdom, that you will provide leaders for it, that it may grow and develop, and that you will make it a way for people to come to know you and to praise and to honor you with their lives. We thank you for our church here at home and for those that are active in it and for our leaders and our staff and all that they do for us, Lord. We pray for our witness in this community, and we ask, God, that you'll just use us in a new and exciting way, that we can really be a true light here, and that people may come to know you because of what we are saying, what we're doing, and the ministry that we're a part of in this community. We pray for our members and those that struggle each day, those that may be hurting, those that are seeking love and care, those that are sick and unwell, and we pray for them. We especially think of Homer, who will undergo surgery this week. Lord, we pray that you will bless the surgeons, the health professionals that are caring for him, for Pearl, as she anxiously awaits the results. We just wrap our arms around them, Lord, with love and care and our prayers. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord, as we enter into the just the listening and the learning of your word, we pray for a blessing on it. We thank you for Pastor Leslie, that she can be with us and be a part of this congregation so willingly and lovingly. And we pray that you'll use her to speak to us. Lord, may this time be a time not only of worship and praise and thanksgiving, but also of filling us with our lives, that we may leave here refreshed, renewed, and eager to serve. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
Join me in a prayer of illumination. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So we've been talking about what it means to have a Reformed accent. And I feel moved to say that we're talking about an accent and not the only way to understand Scripture, the only way to engage with Scripture, Because we know that as we gather with our brothers and sisters from a variety of traditions, their different perspectives give us a fuller perspective of how God speaks through the Word and how He uses each one of these tribes to be salt and light in the world. So I hope as we're going through this series that we're not trying to elevate one thing over another and trying to pit different ways of engaging different worldviews through the lens of Christ in a way that makes us seem somehow the Reformed way is the only way, the better way. It's a way that helps me to articulate how I understand the Word and how I understand faith, but it isn't the only way, and I just feel like we need to make sure that we're always holding these things out because there are brothers and sisters around the world that bring different perspectives that give us the full perspective. We're looking today at how our Reformed identity helps us to understand our relationship with creation, how it helps us to understand how God uses creation to reveal Himself to the world. And today I want to look at Psalm 19. Usually we think of Psalm 19 as kind of our summer psalm, don't we? Probably every church you've been to uses Psalm 19 somewhere. For us, it was the camp psalm. I grew up in Denver. When we would go up to Calvin Camp, we would get this psalm, and almost every other year we had to memorize this psalm. It was something about helping us to understand being out in God's creation in the Rocky Mountains, I believe. So we're going to look at this psalm and realize that as beautiful as this psalm is, it has a real depth of theology that we can grapple with and reflect and meditate on. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. A beautiful, beautiful psalm filled with theology that helps us to remember that God is a God who wants to reveal Himself. God is a God who uses His entire creation to tell His story, to tell of His glory. All nature sings. Creation proclaims the glory of God. It gives testimony to the Creator. It points to His existence on the macro scale and His constant and consistent care on the very micro scale. It reminds us that this Creator of the universe is sovereign and knows how to care for the world that He created and loves it so much that He is still involved in that. He is not that deist kind of God that said, well, I've wound you up, thrown you out into the universe, and you're on your own. No, his hand, his love, his heart is in the daily workings of creation. And we experience that. We gave thanks for that today. Creation gives testimony. It tells not only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear that God is in control, but you get this sense that the psalmist says it tells the next generation of creation and the next what its job will be, how it will be a part of this creation, how it can give glory to God. So tomatoes, inside those tomato seeds, learn what the next generation of tomatoes need to do to be a tomato. I know that sounds weird, but I was at the farmer's market yesterday, and I was just amazed that every year we get this incredible produce. How is it that that eggplants continue being eggplants, and they're so beautiful? How is it that tomatoes and pumpkins and gourds and all of this incredible abundance continues to do what it was created to do? Well, the psalmist says, the way he looks at it is, the one generation tells the next generation, this is what pumpkinness is, go be a pumpkin. This is what eggplantness is, go do your eggplant work. It's only us who say, I'm not sure I like the job that God has given me. I want to do something a little different. That most of creation knows what it's been given to do, and that the way in which it praises the Lord is in doing that well, in doing what trees do, in what bees do, in what birds do. As we were driving to the farmer's market, there's one of those group of, I think they're swallows, you know, where there's like hundreds and hundreds of them, maybe they're grackles, and they form those incredible clouds, and they don't run into each other. Right? They kind of undulate through the sky. And I looked at Tom and I said, how do they know how to do that? Well, each generation of bird tells, this is how we were created to fly like this, and this is what you will do. Now, do they do it in the words that we have? No, I don't understand how it works. And yet there's this sense that from generation to generation, the creation says, this is how we were created, and this is what we were created to do. Go do it. To the glory of God. Creation gives testimony. It tells us that this incredible Creator God is in control and He had a plan. This isn't just happenstance. Now we are included in that. We were created to be human beings, and yet our brokenness, sin that was invited in the garden, sometimes makes us hard to hear that, to receive that message. And we sometimes get confused about how we relate to the creation around us. Recently, I was asked to speak at some event. It doesn't matter what it was, but it was so on the edge of whether or not we were praising God for creation or seeing God in creation. It had a very pantheistic kind of approach. God was in the trees, in the rocks, in the breeze, and we had to almost worship creation. That was the motivation for us to take better care of creation, because we haven't done a good job of taking care of creation. And we're feeling anxious about that, and rightly so. And so my talk was on, how do we care for creation without worshiping it? How do we participate in creation care and the justice that is being asked of us as fellow creatures to care for this whole creation that God has given to us without elevating it to a level that God never intended it to be? And I can understand how we struggle with that, because sometimes creation seems so big and so much more in charge of us than we might be in charge of it. Tom and I had the opportunity a year ago to go out to Denver and then to drive up to Lethbridge. We were seeing family along the way. One thing we missed in our planning was the understanding that the total eclipse of the sun was to take place on our drive through Wyoming. Wyoming has 600,000 people, and as we were reading in the newspaper and doing our final planning in Denver, it said Those of you who will be on the road, Wyoming will grow by double because they're expecting another 600,000 people to come to Wyoming to see the total eclipse of the sun. And that was on a Sunday, and Tom had to preach in Lethbridge, so it wasn't that we could leave a day early. Our plane left on the Monday, so we couldn't leave a day later. We were going to be a part of those extra 600,000. Can you feel the anxiety? So we thought to ourselves, well, let's just try to get an early start and see if we can beat the traffic. And we will not watch the eclipse of the sun, but we'll try to shoot through the state. We know now, in hindsight, that was, yeah, we weren't thinking. But then we said to ourselves, selves, how often do you get to see the total eclipse of the sun? So Tom said, I'll drive, you get in the back seat, and you can watch it. Well, it was hard to see on the road because we were going like this, and I finally said, Tom, this is silly. We're already here. Let's get out of the car, and let's both watch the total eclipse of the sun. So we pulled off on a bypass and got off the road and got out of the car, and we watched that eclipse happen. And it was a holy moment. I do not know how to describe how the whole creation responded to this event. As the eclipse happened, it all of a sudden got 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Like you could feel it. The temperature went down. The bugs stopped buzzing. There wasn't an insect flying anywhere. The wind stopped blowing. It was totally, totally quiet and dark. And I cried. All of a sudden, I realized how this Creator God had created an entire universe, and what a small speck I was in this universe, and how the hand of God had to hold all of this together. Because if it would stay that way, things would have stopped growing. There was dead silence. If we had kept that eclipse forever, there would have been no more growing plants, there would have been no more bugs pollinating, everything stopped. And then it moved to the other side. The only thing I could think of was, how great thou art. How great thou art that you could create all of this, God, to work together in a way that is mind-boggling, beyond what I could ever have created or imagined myself. It was a holy moment. I have never experienced anything like that. And yet, in that moment, I also had an insight. I can understand why people would worship the moon, worship the sun. I can imagine what it would have been like to be someone in the ancient times who didn't understand the science behind this and thought, the world has just come to an end. Can I trust that this will go to a place where we can go back to normal? I can understand why in our brokenness we would say, well, we need to pay much more attention to the sun and worship it and pray to it, that it will always shine, because without it, things go awry. And we should pay attention to the moon, because when it gets in the way, things go awry. I can understand that. I can understand that in our brokenness, we have a tendency to misplace where our relationship with creation is and what creation's job is. And the psalmist today tells us it is creation's job to give God the glory. That's why the psalmist picks the sun and says, every day it's like a groom running from his tent to meet his bride, or a champion running the race. We don't worship the sun. The sun uses its glory to give glory to God, and everyone experiences it. There is no one in the world who can say, I had no idea that God was the Creator God, because we all experience the amazing capacity of God's creation every day. They faithfully praise their Creator, and they do so, the psalmist says, with joy. The sun becomes a metaphor for what we could be doing every morning when we get up. I get the opportunity to praise God in every way He's made me and in everything that I do. I don't see the sun as something that I worship. I see it as a model of what it means to be a creature giving glory to the Creator. And we're reminded that this is not a science textbook talking about how the relationship between the sun and the earth. It's talking about our relationship with God, creatures to the Creator. We're reminded that God is a God who wants to communicate with all of its creation, wants to bless all of its creation, so that even this concept, this idea is brought up again in Romans. Paul says, you know what? The whole earth is getting a testimony every day of God's goodness and love. We just need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our ears and our eyes to that testimony. Creation serves God by giving testimony to His creativity, to His faithfulness, and to His love every day. We acknowledge that our brokenness clouds sometimes what we hear and see. And yet God, through His grace, the psalm tells us, reveals Himself and communicates, not just generally through His creation, but even specifically, He says, now look at the Word. The Word will give you access to understand this incredible testimony given to you by the world around you. God is not a guy that says, catch me if you can. I'm kind of revealing myself here, but then I'm going to flit over there. No, God doesn't play hide and seek with us. In everything He created the opportunity to point back to Him. I belong to the Creator of the universe. The world is proclaiming the glory of God, this psalm says. And then if you move to the end of the psalm, we're reminded that just as like we are creatures of the great High King, we're called to proclaim, to give testimony, to give words so that the world can understand who God is and how He came to be in relationship with us through His Son. We are called as creatures to tell of His glory. We are to live like that sun that says, I can't wait to tell the world what I know about God. I can't wait to give words to God's goodness and grace. I can't wait to live into the call on my life, along with all of creation, to tell the world that God is King, God is merciful, and God is calling all of His creation back home to be with Him. We are called to tell His truth everywhere we go. And in this psalm, we're reminded of the honor of being a part of that, to be able to actually give words and explanation where the animals and the plants and the creation itself can't always do that. And we're reminded in that prayer that I prayed before we opened Scripture and that ends this psalm of the important need for humility when it comes to being the words that give glory to what God is explaining in His creation. It's not just a prayer for the professional. Some of you probably recognize that the end of that psalm, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Many pastors pray that before they preach. And it's not like some kind of catch-all, you know, like sometimes we can sign a paper that says, okay, if I make a mistake in this sermon, I tried. I prayed that prayer and I'm covered. What it reminds me every time I think about that is what an awesome responsibility it is to be up here. And what an awesome responsibility it is for you to be out there. That if we are really engaged in opening the Word and giving words to what God is revealing to us, what God wants us to know about Him, we've got to be engaged. I've got to be as good a speaker as I possibly can, but you guys have to be good listeners. You have responsibility too. If you hear something, you say, oh, I'm not sure about that. We need to be in conversation with each other. This should be a faith formative event for both of us. I often know when I'm preaching that the first person the scripture works on is me. I don't come here to tell you what you got to do. God is working on me, telling me how I need to grow and change. And as I share that, this scripture reminds me I need to do it humbly because I don't have it all together. And I'm bringing it to other people who know they don't have it all together. And as a community, we got to talk to each other and be open to saying, how can we get it more together? Does that make sense? We got to do this together. This is not an hour for you to decide whether or not what I say works for you today. God is working on us right now. He's calling us to be like that son that leaves the tent and joyously says, God is king. He's in charge of the universe. He cares for us. And we all need to be running that same race together and supporting each other in telling the world about the Creator God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us so that we could be in relationship with Him. We have to support each other in that. And so when I come to encourage, I hope you're listening to also encourage, to encourage each other and to wrestle with things that are hard for us and to be accountable to each other for what God does in the opening of the Word. This was not written in my notes, I need to tell you that. I feel like God is stretching us as a people in a world that would much rather just worship the sun, would much rather do yoga out in the world and just be one with the universe. And I'm not mocking. That's what the world just wants to be spiritual. The world just wants to be careful with each other. It knows that things are in a bit of a crisis, so if we just worship the world a little bit more, maybe we'll be a little bit more mindful how we take care of the world. And God says, no. Don't worship the world, worship me. I am the answers to your prayers. And people, we've been called to give words, to give speech to the answers of those prayers. We've been called to be those witnesses. We've been called to bring the word to the world. And that's that middle section, the hinge of this psalm, which starts at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. When we engage in Scripture, when we learn what God has for us, the best ways to live, the best ways to bless the world, what it looks like to be just and merciful, when we can give words to that to the world, we move from a place that says, can't we just all get along, to pointing the way to Jesus, the Redeemer of the world, the answer to the world's prayers. And so this psalm is saying, learn the scriptures. Engage in the word as a community. Let those scriptures give words to your words so that you too can do what we've been called to do. We're the only ones that get to speak with words. Not the animals, not the trees. We have to guess what they're trying to tell the world. We have words. We can learn from the scripture what the world needs to hear. Are we going to be faithful, just like that son every morning, say, I have an opportunity to tell the world about Jesus. I have an opportunity to tell the world that God cares for it. I have the opportunity to run the race of faith. And I'm not going to make people guess. I'm going to give words to my testimony. I'm going to speak the word because we know that the word is trustworthy. It makes wise the simple. It brings joy to the heart. The commands are radiant, gives light to the eyes. If I had not been a believer and I had seen that eclipse, I would have thought, wow, we live in a great world. It wasn't my ability to understand that was going on. It was the word speaking through me. Look at how God created a universe that could work together in a way that allows for an eclipse. And yet we don't get stuck there. It moves on, and the world keeps moving. That God created a universe that gives us seasons so that we can have a time where we have crops that feed us, where there's a time of fallow ground so that the ground can be replenished. God is amazing. All nature sings, but I need the word to point me to who that God is and how he works. The word is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey. It reminds me that in keeping his word, there is great reward. There is life. There is life. So, I'm so off of what my plan was here. And if I don't get invited back, I won't be too hurt. I'm sorry. Here's some things I want us to think about this morning. God is a God who wants to talk to us. He is a communicative God. He's doing it all the time, through his creation, through his people, through his word. But this is the center. Calvin used to say, John Calvin said, these are like the eyeglasses. Scripture is the spectacles that help us to understand how God is communicating elsewhere. I just got new glasses. And, you know, you go through the test and you have to tell them what looks better. It's amazing how much better these glasses are. And I've been wearing glasses since I was 5. I can tell when things come into focus. We are being called this morning to be people of the Word, to know the Word well so it can keep things in focus, so that when the world around us wants us to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, creation, we can say, no, no, we have a job to steward, and God shows us how to steward, but this is all under his plan and his will. It isn't what we want. The Word helps us to focus. It helps us to tell the world that there has been a faithfulness in creation, and creation testifies it to it all the time. We can help the world understand its relationship to the rest of the created world. We can engage in creation care without worshiping the world. And that's one of the things Scripture helps us to understand. And we have been called to be proclaimers, just like that sun, the moon, the stars, the atoms, that all seem to point back to a God that is so creative and so intelligent and is able to hold all of those things in the proper tension. They proclaim God's amazingness. And we've been called to proclaim his amazingness and his amazing grace and his amazing love as well. And I think this psalm reminds us to do it with joy and with humility. To be in the Word so that we can give words to the world that need to hear what grace is and how God loves it. God loves them. And God showed it through his son Jesus. And so the challenge for us this morning is, are we going to be like that son? Are we going to say, wow, I can't wait to see who God is going to put in my life that I can give words to explain his amazing love and grace through Jesus to the world? Are you in it with me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this amazing, amazing world that you allow us to live in. We have already asked for forgiveness, and we probably will need to do that forever. We've not done a good job of stewarding this world. We know that. But we ask, Lord, that as we continue to engage your word, that you will remind us that one way we can be a blessing to those around us is to help them to understand their relationship with creation, and most importantly, their relationship with you. God, find us faithful. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as a worshiping body, to tell stories of thankfulness, to remind each other of your constancy and faithfulness, and for the opportunity to share that with your world. We ask, Lord, that you will give us all the resources we need to do that, and that you will give us the joy to do so as well. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.